Welcome everyone to the Oral Fix Podcast. I am Henry Diaz.
And I am Drew Brown.
We are your hosts for this episode of the Oral Fix Podcast, a weekly audio podcast featuring interviews, antics, and satirical commentaries on pop culture, music, art, movies, fashion, TV, relationships, love, sex, and more for the gay community. That's all you guys out there listening to us. Drew, how are you doing?
I'm doing good, Henry. I'm doing really good. I'm happy that we're finally doing this. It's been a year in the making, so I feel like, you know, we're giving birth.
Stop, honey.
I know you have those that are childbearing hips, so.
Oh, you're so sweet.
How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. Thank you for asking. I'm excited and happy also that we finally got through all the planning and oh my gosh, it's been such an ordeal just to finally produce this. Everyone out there who's listening to us, I and Drew know each other since we were teens. We practically grew up together. We had great mentors, and we worked together as well in the nonprofit world. Both of us are artists and talented. Tony's more of a fashionista, and I'm more of a techie, spiritual guru. And
are you trying to say fashion people are not spiritual?
Oh, you're so sensitive today. No, honey. Okay.
I do have a soul.
Okay. Well. When is Judgment Day? In a couple of weeks.
Well, the end of the world was a few weeks ago.
Well, so, you know, I and Drew, we recently got, after a couple, several years of not speaking to each other, losing contact, we were reunited on Facebook along with other friends. And, so we've been rekindling some of the old memories, some of the things that we've done in the past, some things that never came to fruition, like a video show that we were trying to do when we were teens. What was it called? Fascination Street?
Fascination Street, yeah. That was our weekly dance show where we would do costume changes and dance around our apartment. Crazy people. We were so gay.
Well, speak for yourself. I'm still gay.
I know. Well, we were a little extra gay then.
So, you know, we've been having, as usual, great conversations, and it was almost like, you know, we never stopped communicating, and we decided to do this podcast because we needed an outlet for our creativity. That's one, and the other is to really interact with the gay and lesbian community out there, transsexual, questioning, bisexual, you know, all of you. To really share our ideas and hear, you know, feedback from you. So what a great way to do it than a podcast and also a blog. And we are happy to be here for you guys. But I have to say, put a disclaimer here, that we're not therapists, we're not counselors, and nor do we play one. So
we're just fabulous.
Yes, we're just fabulousness and love, you know? we're two big cookie jars of love. Honey,
oh God.
Welcome to my honey.
I'll put a disclaimer on, you'll hear many, many of Henry's corny, you know, kind of, you know, cookie jars of love. You're going to hear a lot more of that, so prepare yourself.
I'm not corny. I might be nerdy and geeky, but I'm not corny.
It's all love.
All right. Well, we're happy to be here for all you people. Just don't take us literally. All right? Okay. So I think we're ready for our next segment. Drew, would you like to lead us into it?
Sure, Henry. So our next segment is called Tit for Tat. And this is where we, you know, are going to be giving you our opinions on stories that we found interesting for the week. It could be for anything about pop culture, anything in music, fashion, art, whatever. Whatever we found interesting that we want to share with you guys and give our opinion on it. So that's a little bit what Tit for Tat is. And so for, I will go first. We're now in the month of June after a very rainy, rainy May and here in New York City. So now it's ready for hot and humid. Humidity and New York City. But anyway, so June is Pride Month, and so this is our month to be proud and out and scandalous and all that debauchery and all that good stuff happening. So this Saturday, Sunday, is Queens Pride. And then on June 11th is Brooklyn Pride, and then there's also the Dyke March, which is towards the end of June, and then there is the big extravaganza, the big gay, you know, Pride Parade here. And of course there's five parades that are happening throughout the country, in Canada and all over the world and all that good stuff. So we have a lot of celebrating to do, so be safe, and, you know, I'm sure we'll see you out and about,
And please use a condom, and be careful of those STDs out there, and remember, gay bashing is still about, it may be New York City, if you're in New York City, it is still around, so, you know, just keep your wits about you, be safe.
Exactly. So, you know, I just want to touch on, you know, a couple more things. I know that, you know, even though this is our month to be proud and to celebrate and to, you know, hey, you know, we're here, we're queer, get used to it and all that good stuff. I just want to, you know, there's something that I just found in the news, that just reminds us that even though, you know, we've come a long way, we still have a lot more ways to go. In Texas, there is a Texas judge has signed an order that voids the marriage of a transgender widow whose firefighter husband died battling a blaze in Texas. So the ruling in the lawsuit was filed by the firefighter's husband's family. The suit claims his widow should collect nothing because she was born a man, and Texas does not recognize same-sex marriage. So it's really, really sad. When you look at the article, there's sort of a beautiful picture of Nikki, and it's just that I can only imagine what she's going through, and that these are stories that you hear all the time, whether it's, you know, your partner, someone who's, you know, denied access to their partner on their, you know, deathbed or, you know, whatever, these stories happen all the time. And so it's just really sad that it's still happening and, you know, and it's, of course, this happened really recently. And so even though, you know, we get to celebrate us being out and all the progress that we have come, we're constantly reminded that there's still a lot more work to do. So our thoughts and prayers and support goes out to Nikki and just to remember that we still need to rally. There's a lot of work that we need to do, so the fight continues.
And I totally agree. You know, I'm looking at this. I clicked on the link that you are providing for us for this article, and I just shared it on my Facebook. And I'm hoping I'm going to look later to see if she has a support fan page. But you know, Nikki is a beautiful woman. And I would never guess that she was a boy at some point. And she looks so happy in this photo. And, you know, the Texas state itself needs a lot of work. You know, it's a big gay population out there. They're working class, and I'm sure they bring that state a lot of money. and save their asses several times over. And this is no way in this day and age to treat people in our community this way. You know, we are equal to other people. This is, you know, a really sad shame. And
So now, you know, those are two of my stories. I just want to, you know, quickly talk about, I don't know what's going on with people, and just my advice to all of our listeners out there, just be a little bit careful, you know, with sending, you know, or having naked pictures in your phone. Henry, do you have naked pictures in your phone?
Why would you like to know?
I just asked you. Like, I was just hurt. Not want you to have to deal with, you know, this, you know, picture circulating of Blake Lively. They're saying that his photos are, you know, Photoshop, that it's not her. Then we now have this senator who is cannot confirm that that's his, you know, his penis in the picture. You know, it's like all of these things. It's like, what is going on with people? So it's just, it seems like no one, you know, we had all these scandals with Chris Brown and like Rihanna and like all these people. It seems like, you know, it's always the same things that are happening over and over again. And I suppose I don't know if it's something that people are just putting out there just for publicity, or is it just, you know, people are just that careless? Or I don't know.
I don't think I'm getting the story straight. So somebody's photo got leaked and it was on their phone, and
well, yeah. So there were pictures of Blake Lively that are now being shopped around all over Parental Pen and all the blogs and all over the place of her nude. And her people are saying that the pictures are not her. But if you look at the pictures, they look exactly like her. But they're saying that it's not her. And then for the senator is also saying that he sent a loose photo was sent to some 21-year-old girl, and they're claiming that they didn't have a relationship, but the photo was leaked. You know, was sent to her, and now there's all this, like, scandal, and he's now not manning up and owning up to it. He's not saying, this is me or whatever. He's claiming that his account was hacked. So, you know, you gotta be a little careful if you do have, you know, a lot of dick pics in your, or vagina pics in your phone. Be a little careful.
Okay, I'm sure you're not directing that at me.
I am directing that to you because I just want to, you know, I just want to make sure you're not.
Security,
you know,
security.
I don't want to tarnish your already loose rich reputation.
Honey, you know nothing about me.
So anyway.
You all okay? So, I'm gonna take the advice to heart. But I am a photographer and I am doing erotic photography, and you know, this can happen with anyone's pictures, but it seems like these people were targeted because they're in the public eye all the time. And
yeah,
whether or not these
yeah.
stories are true, you know, if they are to some degree, you know, these people should take ownership to it. I would respect them even more if they did.
Exactly.
You know, I'm learning a lesson here, and I'm, you know, I won't judge them even more. I just see it as, you know, another facet of human life here on Earth. But anyway,
exactly, and I think what's so funny too is, especially in the case of the senator, you know, it's like, you know, here are these people who are, you know, in Congress who, you know, we vote for and put into office and, you know, congressmen, and who are, you know, there's always these scandalous, sexual, dirty, nasty scandals that come out about them. But yet, you know, these are the people who vote against, you know, gay marriage, gay life, and all of these things. And they have the nerve to tell us, you know, that we're disgusting and that we're, you know, going to burn in hell and wear all these things and blah, blah, blah. But yet, you know, they are carrying on and they are doing, they're really letting their dirty laundry out, you know, they're putting their dirty laundry out in there and doing all kinds of dirty things. So it's like, you know, people in glass houses shouldn't throw stones. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
So anyway, so that's my tip for the task for the week.
You go, girl. Well, my tip tap for the week starts with Lady Gaga. she was born that way. You know, I'm bringing her up because I like to acknowledge her. There was a time in my life where I thought that she was just awful. I really didn't want to hear anything. You know, there were a couple of tracks that would dance that were by her, like Bad Romance, in the clubs, because that was like the only thing I could really get. But, you know, for some reason, and then, you know, they would play her and Britney back to back in the clubs that I would go to. So I didn't pay no attention to her. Last year, I started kind of like venturing into the YouTube world, and I started seeing more and more of her videos, and I started seeing an artist instead of somebody trying to make money, and I just fell in love with her, and, you know, I fell in love with her and her work even more after this album just came out, Born This Way. And also, I'm a techie, you know, website designer. I love my gadgets. And I follow these podcasts that are in the technology world. And she's, you know, she has her hands in there because she does business with people. And she, namely Google and the technology world. So she's constantly a buzz there. And she uses and utilizes, you know, technology for her advantage and self-promotion. So I, being an artist and also a techie, geeky, nerdy kind of guy, I really admire her work, and the fact that she stands up for us gays. And I think she has a message, spiritually, you know, she's totally an evolved being. This latest album just highlights, all her talents, and I also being a former performer, vocal, trained, singer. Yeah, she impresses me. I get her. I get her message. And I guess I have to
disagree.
Oh, you must.
I get her. I think that there are things that she does that are, you know, really good. Like you're saying, she is a visionary. Her videos are really good. But, you know, I think some of her stuff is, I'm not really feeling this new album. I haven't really heard it. You know, people are making a big deal that it sold all these, you know, copies and blah, blah. But, you know, of course it's going to sell that much if you're selling it for 99 cents on Amazon. And I don't know if you look at some of the pop divas, you know, like Madonna or Janet, or, you know, they have songs that you play it now and you can still, you know, jam to it. And I just don't know in, you know, 20, 30 years, are we going to still be like, rah, 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 do that, do that. Like, no, I don't think it's going to hold up. So, I think she does great stuff for the gay community, and she is a good activist, and she is a visionary. I think there's some stuff that is great, but I think sometimes people give her there's so much hype behind her that I'm like, okay, enough. But that's just my opinion.
Yes, and I did feel like that in the beginning about her also, and I changed. I'm a Gaga monster now.
Okay.
I put up, when nobody's watching me, I put up that paw.
Okay. Well, it's okay to disagree. We'll leave it at that. And so don't send me any hate mail.
We'll wait for you in Gagaville.
Yeah, I'm not saying I don't like her or whatever. I'm just not a number one crazy fan. You know, I'm not convinced. 100%. So anyway, so moving on. Go ahead.
Yes, moving on. Dismiss me. Okay, next. Yes, X-Men First Class. I have here on my tit for tat. One, I'm so happy that they did another X-Men movie. Two, I am very disappointed that they changed the timeline again on the stories. You know, I was kind of buying it for a while. You know, I saw that Beast was introduced as being one of the first extraordinary X-Men before the X-Men were really formed. Emma Frost is in it, and she was supposed to be the bad guy in the Hellfire, so that's kind of interesting. But where they lost me and I went nuts with was when I saw that they brought in Havoc as one of the main characters in this movie, in the story of the predecessors of the X-Men. That isn't true. It's total lies, you know? He's Scott Summers' older brother, and they were orphaned, and, you know, this doesn't even fit in the game. Of, you know, in the realm of X-Men. So I'm not gonna, you know, it just came out today. I'm very excited. It looks really, cinematography, graphics, it looks beautiful, perfect. But I'm gonna wait until it comes out on DVD. And if anybody out there has watched it by the time you listen to this podcast and you loved it, and without spoiling everything for us, call us in. Let us know what you think about it. You know, disagree with me if you want to disagree or whatever, but I'm very, very, very disappointed, and I need to put this up, I need to bring this up for tip
test. Get it off your chest. Alright.
Well, you know, I collected the comics. I was so invested, and I still am, in their story when I was growing up.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I think me too. I collected, you know, X-Men comics, and I'm a fan, and I just think that I hope that this is not as bad as X-Men 3. So I don't think they could do it anymore. That was horrible. So I don't
get started on that.
Yeah, that'll be a whole other podcast. I don't want to open up Pandora's box. But I don't think it could get any worse than that. So
talk about Pandora's box. I found something recently on my Tumblr log was that. There's a picture being circulated out there of Wolverine and a very demure Gambit kissing up on some brick wall of some building.
Posting
that on our blog for all you guys to want to see.
Please do. Oh, God, I love Wolverine. Wolverine is my favorite. Oh,
all right, so moving on. And final tip for tat here for me is Gem and the Holograms. Gem and the Holograms is an 80s based cartoon on pop girl bands, Evil and Good, and which was very popular here in America. I don't know about around the world. And for those of you guys who don't really know them, and those who do, I want to do a little nostalgia here, reminiscing on who they, what the show theme song is. I want to play it here for you guys. Get a sense for it.
Sing it. I think Jim was kind of like the moment where I was like, you know, kind of like, why do I like this too much? Like, I was young and I was growing up and I was just kind of like, you know, of course I didn't know what gay was and all that stuff, and I was like really drawn to it and all the drama and the costumes, and I was just like, I think I like this too much. And then I remember my neighbor's daughter, she had like a gym doll, and I was like, you know, making her outfits and like doing other stuff, and I was like, what's going on here? This is not right. Of course, I'm just like playing with her, but it just was a little bit. I was just a little too comfortable with the doll. She was like, can I have the doll back, please?
Oh, my God. You were so lucky to have a doll. I never had a gem doll.
She had the doll, and I was just always, every time she would come, oh, like my mom would babysit her, so sometimes she would come over and babysit. So I was always more than happy to play dolls with her and, you know, all that stuff. And I was like, and now looking back, and it's like, I should have known then. So that was a big sign.
Well, Jem was very fabulous, one, because, you know, her father had passed away and left his inheritance and the record recording company to her. And she had everything. She had friends, she had a beautiful, you know, hot boyfriend and a beautiful home with a pool. Her friends were, her closest friends that were in the band. And then she had this super awesome computer that was animated and was artificial intelligence called Synergy.
Yeah,
and you know, they did everything. They even battled evil, the Misfits, the robbery band, and you know, I brought it up to Fritz Hits Test because one, it's been on my mind for a while, and I was thinking, you know, if nobody makes this movie and brings it to the live screen, and then I'm gonna do it. And lo and behold, Audrey Brown found a CNN interview with the person, Britta Phillips, who did the voice of Jem for the cartoon. And, you know, and it discloses that there's a growing popularity again for Jem. The Hub Network has started to air the reruns of the episodes of Jem and the Holograms. And I don't have cable, so I'm missing out on that. You know, I think I probably could find it on Hulu or something, on Netflix. But I think it's really awesome. And it just fits around the same time that I'm thinking about these thoughts of the live-action movie. And I did a little more digging, and so did Drew. And we, you know, we found, like, some rumors that started maybe back in the 2008 that maybe the writers and directors of Transformers and G.I. Joe the movies were going to do a live-action Jem movie, but nothing really came about of it. But if anyone out there in our audience knows for sure that somebody is working on that movie, please call it in or email us with the details and if you have any links. So we do have a couple of links that we're going to post on the blog, and one of them that the article that we did find that was most interesting that talked about some of these rumors came from film.com from a reporter there called Jen Yamato, and she lists her what would be her ideal cast for this movie and who would be who, you know, who would play certain characters. And I just want to mention a couple of them before we go into our next segment, which I thought was very interesting. You know, she has somebody by the name of Zoe Deschanel playing Jem, which I don't really know who she is, but Drew knows. I think she's beautiful, and I think she sells it to me, you know, Jem. And then, you know, Kimber is being, you know, she has, Yamato has Kimber being played by Lindsay Lohan, which I don't really buy.
Yeah, I don't see her. I don't see Lindsay Lohan as Kimber. I would like to see more of like Emma Stone as Kimber.
Emma Stone.
I love Emma Stone. I think she would be great. I don't know if she can sing or not, but you know, whatever. It doesn't matter. She can lip sync.
I think she can sing. She has the beauty. She seems she has the brains also.
Yeah, she's a great actress, and, you know, Zoe Deschanel, you know, she was in 500 Days of Summer, you know, she's kind of like an indie film, you know, goddess, but I think she's a good choice for, you know, or, you know, because, you know, I wouldn't mind seeing maybe Christina Aguilera would also be a good choice. You know.
Right, Yamato has Christina Aguilera as Stormer from the Misfits, and I thought, you know, I said, I don't buy that either, and, you know, perhaps, but I think she would make a better Jem than a Stormer.
Yeah, and I don't think that Christina Aguilera would want to be, you know, under, Lady Gaga, if Lady Gaga was head of the Misfits.
Yeah, Yamato has here Lady Gaga as Pizzazz from the Misfits, and I could see that. She totally...
I could totally see that. I think in terms of, you know, her fashion sense, and, you know, I mean, she can give you a really good Pizzazz.
So, audience, I think you guys would want to take a look at this. Please give us your opinions on Yamato's casting here, and if you have any other personal favorites that should be casted in these roles, send them to us, and we'll pick out the ones that we think that are worthy to be aired for the audience, the rest of the audiences. So that's it for Tit for Tat for this week, and we need to move on now. We're going to have a short break and leave you with some music.
So that was Robin, Call Your Girlfriend, the Feed Me mix. So, love her, she could do no wrong, and off her Body Talk album. So, hope you enjoyed it, because we did. Anyway, so we're going to now move on into our next segment, which is called The Main Drag. And this is where we kind of get into the meat and potatoes of the podcast. And this is where we, you know, talk about a subject or an article or whatever, you know, we want to really kind of talk about and really discuss and kind of dive into. So this time, since this is our very, very first podcast, we decided that we kind of wanted to do a little Q&A session. So, so you really get to know who we are and more about us, and you kind of get to hear a little bit about our dirty laundry, if you will. Even though if you've been to any gay bathroom wall, you've probably seen Henry's name on many of them.
Why you guys throw shade? I've been nice to you.
I kid. Anyway.
see, folks, this is where the fangs and the claws really come out.
So, if you've seen that number, you know, for the time, call Henry at blah, blah, blah. Now you know who you're talking to. Mr. Henry Diaz, that's right. The legendary Henry Diaz. Our topic for this main drag is love, sex, and relationships. So, like I said before, we're going to do a little bit of a Q&A. So we're going to ask each other some questions and give you some honest answers. And of course, as always, you know, whenever with any of the segments that we have, you know, throughout the podcast, we do want to hear from you. So if you, you know, we will be posting these questions on our blog, as well as our Facebook page. So we would love for you to answer these questions as well and also give us some comments on any of the subject matter that you've heard so far. So anyway, so our first question is, Henry, have you ever faced it?
Oh no! very personal questions. Oh my god! Can we say barbecue here? have I ever faked it? Faked it like in sex, right?
Faked it like that's what I'm talking about. Yeah.
My sound. Have I ever faked my sound effects? Let me see.
Or even, you know, I mean, some people think that men can't make an orgasm, but we can.
Well, I have. There have been a couple of men in my life that, a very few, that, you know, I'm not ever mean to any of my lovers or partners, so I have been known to throw an extra grunt or two, or moan. Oh, God.
Okay.
Am I extra crispy yet?
Okay. I have fixed it. I have, definitely have seen, like, I was really enjoying something that I was really not there, that I kind of checked out. I have definitely have done that.
Well, we're very glad that you're no Mother Teresa and you're
No. So, okay, so moving right along. So our next question is, what qualities do you look for in a mate?
Oh, I like this question. What qualities do I look for in a mate? Mate. Such a dirty word to begin with, I think. It's not, every time I hear that word mate, it's just like, just in, to me, insinuates that I'm on the prowl.
But aren't you? Hello.
I'm a predator. Well, I'm single, but I'm not on the prowl, per se.
I'm going there right now as we speak.
No, I'm not multitasking here, and I'm Manhunt and BigMuscleBears.com and all. No. What I look for is a person who's listening to me, who's open-minded, who's actually, I look for more emotional qualities first than physical. And if both physical and emotional qualities are there and that person is available emotionally, then even if they're for a fling, I'm so sold to it, you know, to that person. At times I've been known to wear my heart on my sleeve, and I hardly do that anymore, but if I feel safe enough around you and you wouldn't mind that, then, you know, you would, you know, that person would be, you know, my ideal mate. So what I look for in that mate, in that guy, is definitely listening skills, nurturing skills, and as well as security with their sexuality, because if they're all macho and they're not comfortable with their femininity or being effeminate, then I really am turned off. But that's it in a nutshell. So
yeah,
I hope I don't get into any stalkers because of this question now.
I'm sure you will. What qualities do I look for in a mate? I look for, you know, for me, I love someone that can make me laugh, someone who's smart, also someone that is comfortable in their own skin. And the one thing that is really important too is that I want someone that I have the most amazing group of friends, and they are like my family. So I want someone that can be able to, is not afraid to be around my friends and to interact with them and not be this kind of like shy wallflower who sits there and just be like a Debbie Downer. You know, I've dated so many guys who are, you know, when they come to around my friends and my friends are, you know, extending the olive branch and trying to, you know, incorporate them into conversations and engage them and stuff like that, and they just don't do it, and they just sit there and with a, you know, sad face, and I'm just like, what is wrong with you? So I want someone who's not afraid to, you know, who is also social, because I'm a very social person as well. I want someone that I could, you know, who's not afraid to, like, I have to be underneath them under every second. Of course, I want it to be known that, you know, of course, we're a couple, but we don't have to, like, be too, like, underneath each other at all the time.
So it sounds like you appreciate public displays of affection.
I do. I mean, I'm all for PDA. PDA is all. I'm all for PDA. It doesn't scare me. And I want the person to be, you know, to not be, you know. I want my partner to also, you know, not be afraid to hold hands and, you know, things like that. Or of course, there's a time and a place. Of course, if I'm in, you know, some parts of Brooklyn, I'm not trying to, you know, I'm not trying to get beat. So moving on, what has been the most romantic thing someone has done for you?
Oh, what a sweet question. And here I thought you were turning into a mean old bitch.
Well, that's a little bit later.
What's the most romantic thing that someone ever has done for me, besides carrying me into bed?
Wow. Okay.
I have to say, I've had some pretty good lovers in my life thus far. But I think the most romantic thing that anyone ever done for me, besides carrying me into bed and make love to me. I mean, that... there was
and
found me. I mean, he gave me a lot of love and nurturance, and, you know, he was really attracted to me, and I was attracted to him. And, but he had, like, this private life, and I don't know, I couldn't get with that. I mean, he wouldn't let me in there, and it seemed like he was married to this woman. He was, like, this man from Honduras.
Answer the question. What's the most romantic thing that someone has done for you?
I think I'm going to go with that. I think that's the most romantic thing. I mean, besides that, I can't really think. You know, that's a good question. I have to contemplate on that for myself. But I think that's the most romantic thing that anyone's done for me thus far that I can remember.
Okay. The most romantic thing that someone's done for me... there are two things that I love, one being bacon, the other being
bacon?
Yes.
Wait. Bacon?
I love bacon and I love champagne. And this guy who I was seeing at the time, we were talking about, you know, something, and I mentioned that, you know, what I love bacon and I love champagne. And he showed up to my apartment with bacon and champagne, and he surprised me. I didn't know he was coming, and he had flowers, and he, like, you know, cooked me this, like, meal, and we had some prosecco, and, yeah, it was really sweet. I thought it was really sweet and really nice. So that was pretty, you know, romantic that he actually was listening to what I was saying and took the time to kind of make a moment out of it. That was pretty romantic. I think that, you know, that's the most recent thing that sticks to my mind. So, if you wanna win me over, just give me bacon and champagne, and I'm be happy at hello.
Oh, hey. My little piglet there loves bacon. That's sweet.
My last question for you is, have you ever done the Walk of Shame?
I have ever done the Walk of Shame. I've heard of the Trail of Tears. What's the Walk of Shame?
The Walk of Shame is when you are, you know, you had a hookup and you are, you know, wearing the same clothes. And now you have to go home, you know, and do the Walk of Shame. That's the Walk of Shame.
Oh, that is such a personal question. Oh, my God. well, yeah, I mean, who hasn't? I've done that plenty of times in my youth. And I've never, have, thank God, have had to do that in my adult life. But I don't see the shame behind that, though.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, it doesn't always have to be the shame of things, but it's like, I mean, that's what they call it, kind of like the walk of shame, because it's always kind of, you know, you have to, like, you know, whether, hopefully you can jump into a taxi or something, but, you know, you have to kind of leave someone's apartment and you're kind of, you know, feeling a little bit, you know, you're in the same clothes and it was like a long night and, you know, it's kind of gross and whatever. There's nothing behind it, but, you know, whatever. But that's, you know, that's the
term. Okay, we come from two different worlds.
So, well, that we do. I had done the walk of shame not too long ago, and it was definitely an experience, and to top it off, it's like, not only that I was leaving the person's house, you know, and it cracked on as, you know, as the morning, and the crack of dawn in the morning, but it was raining. So I was like, oh, God. I was, like, trying to find a cab so I can go home. And I was like, oh, God, let this water just wash me of my sins. Let the water wash me of my sins. Anyway, but, yeah, it was definitely an experience. But, yeah, I definitely have done the walk of shame.
Okay. Amen. Let's take it to church. Now, I guess it's time for my questions, huh?
Yeah.
All right. My first question for you, Drew, is what do you think about public sex?
I'm for it. I wouldn't shy away from it. You know, I think, you know, when you're with a partner, you know, you got to, you know, keep things spicy. You know, keep the relationship, you know, going and, you know, keep things spicy and, you know, hey, you gotta do it. So I don't shy away from it, but I'm not an exhibitionist. I'm not really into, like, being on display. I could, you know, be in a public place, but if we are kind of hidden a little bit, that's more fine. But I don't mind having sex in the outside of the bedroom.
Right. Okay. Yeah. I have to, you know, my sentiments are the same, and I prefer discreet places. I mean, on the outs, you know, sex outside, it's fine with me, but where there's a risk where I'm going to be walked in on, no, because that's a private matter to me, and it's very intimate. I mean, I've seen videos online lately where there's people messing around in the subway trains and they're filming it. I think that's really, like, scary. Alright, so moving on to the second question. Do you read self-help books or articles on love?
Yes, I do. I think, you know, I think it's not, you know, I don't read books on, like, how to get a man or those kind of books, but I think, you know, there's a lot of books out there that talk about that are more spiritual and more about, like, you know, seeing things in yourself or why we are the way we are in relationships. And so those kind of books I find a little bit more interesting. I can relate to those a little bit more. I learn from them. So it's not just about finding a mate. But it's also about doing the work. So when you do find love, you're open to it and you're really receptive. So I do read them. Yeah.
Great. I think that's healthy. I really do, and I do it myself as well. I even read books on sex, gay sex. There's a book out there, The Joy of Gay Sex, and I think there's a two-part version. I highly recommend it, and it's been so instrumental for me, and especially when it comes to the next question, which I'll get into later. But a really good book on love that I would highly recommend, I'll link to on our blog, is The Path to Love by Deepak Chopra. And God, very eloquent and just helps me to manage the love that I have for others without being controlling. So I guess I'm going to move into the next question. Drew, can you have sex without love?
I have had sex without love. It's not, I don't prefer it. I do prefer to be in a relationship and have that kind of, you know, sex, as opposed to just having random hookups or random kind of, you know, escapades with people. So I have had sex without love, so I do believe that it is possible to have sex without love, but it's not something that I seek out.
Yes. That's very interesting about you. For myself, I've been reading The Joy of Sex and doing a lot more work on myself, I've been able to distinguish sex from love. And when I need just sex, I look for sex. But, you know, there's a level of intimacy that I need, with just a fling or one night stand. Because it's a little more sacred and intimate just with anybody. I just don't want to have sex with, you know, just anybody. They have to be somebody to me. So there is a level where I give and I share, because I just don't like cold sex and mechanical sex. So, you know, do I believe that there can be sex without love? Yeah, that's possible. Do I look for it? Not all the time. So, I'm there with you. And my last question, and I guess then we're going to call it the end here. Oh, no, actually, we have another segment. Do you think role-playing, like dominant and submissive roles, ruins a relationship?
That's a good question. I think that for me, it would ruin the relationship because that's not what I'm about. I don't play roles, or I'm not about, you know, trying to, you know, be this way, or, you know, you be more the man and I, you know, be more the wife or whatever. I'm not into that kind of role playing. I think that it needs to be more, for me, a relationship is more about the partnership and the journey that you guys go through together, as opposed to kind of playing these roles that are more of these kind of like heterosexual ideals. And for me, that doesn't work for me. So for me, it would ruin the relationship if I was dating someone who wanted me to just be their biatch and, you know, and basically, you know, just kind of, you know, just submissive, you know, person, and just kind of like, oh, yes, daddy, like, no, that's not my personality. And I want someone that's going to challenge me and challenge me in a good way, and we challenge each other. And I don't want to be with someone that is straight acting or whatever. That to me, it doesn't work for me. It doesn't float my boat. Whatever floats people's boat, that's fine. But it's not something that I'm into.
Okay, so you do think that dominant submissive roles ruins a relationship?
I think it can work for other people, but for me, it would ruin the relationship.
Okay, so there you have it, folks. That's a yes.
Yeah, so that's a yes.
I'm in the same boat with you, and it's, you know, the reason why I put this question up was, one, because of all these new political actions and campaigns out there for gay marriage, that are taking effect, and people who haven't married and want to get married, you know, they're basing a lot of, like, them wanting to get married from a cookie cutter, which is a straight cookie cutter, and it's either being, you know, an ideal couple that they fantasize about that they know of, a straight couple, or their parents. And, you know, the real deal is that, you know, those type of dominant and submissive relationships are, you know, they only exist with true alpha people, like an alpha dominant and maybe an alpha submissive. And the in-between, which is a large majority of us, we're not like that, and we need to stand up for ourselves. And I think that it ruins the potential of human growth to be stuck and being a dominant or a submissive when we're not really that, you know, we're actually both, or we're in between. And, you know, not that I'm saying it's wrong to explore those things, but I think that they ruin relationships and ruin chances for relationships, and maybe that's why there's a shorter amount of time in terms of years between relationships between gay men and lesbians. Lesbians have longer relationships than gay men do. So, you know, I threw that out there to play around with, and I'm glad I did.
I think in any relationship, I think, you know, it's one of those things where, of course, it's going to be, it's just balance. Sometimes, you know, do I want sometimes where I want to be with someone that makes the decision? Yeah. Do I feel like that means that I am now playing a role? It's like, no, sometimes, you know, you want them to be like, hey, do what we're going to eat tonight. Like, it's not about me playing a role.
Right.
It's about, like, pick the place to eat, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Rather than, you know, okay, well, I'm only the top and you're only the bottom, and that's just the way it is. In that scenario, that's not, you know, that doesn't work.
Totally. I'm all there with you, girlfriend, and that wraps it up for this segment, and we're going to have to go into break now. And audience, if you have any feedback, any answers for us of your own, or we would like to hear from you, so please refer to our show notes and get to us an email with your responses. And thoughts. Okay, so we're going to leave you with some music, and we'll see you after the break. Suddenly lost inside of fantasy. Everything not quite what it seems to be. And that was Christine Aguilera, Birds of Prey. Christina Aguilera, Birds of Prey.
Get it together.
Okay, I'm not, you can tell that I'm not, like, a real big fan of hers, but lately, after her Bionic album and this track we just played, I am totally sold on Christina Aguilera. The track that just played, Christina Aguilera's Birds of Prey, was remixed, and this is the Ruben Woo Lady Tron remix. And everyone, you know, the music that we're playing, we're going to have links on the Blogspot, so you can go to those sites and download the music for free. So that's a bonus from us to you. And we're going to go into our next segment and our last segment, which is going to be the main staple of our podcast, which is called the Back Into the Closet segment, which is all about things in our community, the gay community, gay, lesbian, LGBTQ community, that does not belong outside of the closet. It belongs inside the closet. We want to put it back in there, lock it up, throw away the key, and never see it again. So either we'll take turns, Drew and I, bringing up some choices, or we'll both have choices. And today, in this podcast, Drew is the only one who has an item to throw back into the closet, and I'm going to let Drew take it away.
Okay, so the first item for our very first show that I would like to put into the closet is the term boy pussy. I know it's a term that, you know, Henry, you use quite often.
What?
It's just,
don't
it's
even try it. Security!
It's one of these terms that it just really, it grosses me out. It's not sexy. It doesn't turn me on. It's definitely a turn off, if anything. Recently I had a, you know, hook up with someone who, you know, is this really hot guy, and he said, you know, I want to feel you in my boy pussy, and I was just like,
oh,
what? And he could tell that my body reacted. And he was just like,
your body reacted to his boy pussy, huh?
And I was just like, no, this is not for me, hon. And he was just like, he was so lucky that he was fine. But if he wasn't as fine as he was, I probably would have put my clothes all back on and left. But I stayed, and of course, you know, hey, you know.
You're a trooper.
I am a trooper. You know, I took one for the team. You know, whatever. But it's just sick to me. I don't get it. Every time I hear it, when people say, "Oh, this is my man pussy or my mangina or whatever," it grosses me out. It's just kind of, I don't know. I don't want to hear it. So if that's in the closet, that's in the closet. Away you go. You know.
Shantae away.
Shantae away.
Where's the Shantae away?
Sashay away. Sashay away.
We need that Wayne's World effect.
So that is the very first thing that we're gonna put into the back in the closet. And of course, you know, these are just our opinions, so if there are things that you feel that, you know, it could be a person, place, or thing that you think that we should put back into the closet, please email us or, you know, send us a message on our Facebook or on our Blogspot, and let us know what you think. We would love to hear from you or give us a call or something like that. And let us know what you would think that we should put up back in the closet. And who knows, it might make our show next time.
Okay. All right, so thank you very much, everyone, for listening. We're at the tail end of our podcast. This is where we get to say till next time and goodbye. We had fun, a great time on this podcast, and we look forward to doing the next one and hearing from all of you out there. I would like to note that every Sunday, our podcast posts. And one of the main areas where you could find us, the podcast itself, is at our blog, which is oralfixpodcast.blogspot.com. Again, that's oralfixpodcast.blogspot.com. You can find all our latest antics, postings, little bits and extras there, all the links to the articles, the music that we displayed and talked about on our show today. And also, you can find links to our own personal Twitter accounts, as well as the Twitter and Facebook account for the Oral Fix podcast. And make sure that you follow us and like us on Facebook. We look forward to hearing from you. Let me make sure I mention our telephone number. It's 646-504-3491. If you call us, please give yourselves at least 3 minutes The max that we're willing to take is a 5-minute call. And even that, we'll have to do some editing if it makes it to the show. Also, you can email us at earlsixpodcast@gmail.com. Again, you can find this information on our blog spot. I would like to plug in some shameless self-promotion here. For myself, I am a photographer, artist, web designer. I do have my own personal website, www.henrymdiaz.com. I have a Twitter account, a Flickr account, links on that website, which you can follow me on. Also, there's a lot of artwork and photos there that if you would like to take home with you, there's some links that you can purchase it, or if you would like to hire me, you can contact me there. Also, I have an unrated blog spot at Tumblr, henrymdiaz.tumblr.com, and visit me there sometime and, you know, check it out and check out, you know, what I'm going crazy over during the day, any day of the week. Recently, I've been posting some of my erotic work under HMD Eros on Facebook, so look out for that. And I think you can find a shortcut on my photography page, fan page there. And that's Henry M. Diaz Photography at Facebook. So that's about it. Drew, do you have any final words for our audience?
Thank you for, you know, bearing with us for this very first one. I hope that, you know, we were entertaining and we weren't and come across too much of it as a hot mess on our very first show. and hope that you tune in and continue to tune in and tell your friends about us and, you know, and let us know what you think, if there's topics or, you know, concerns or questions that you would like us to answer, or things that you want us to talk about. Please let us know. We do want to hear from you. So,
and thank you very much. And this is again the number one first podcast for the Oral Fix. And thank you everyone for being number one with us. And continue to be number one with us. And we look forward to seeing you next week. And those of you who are celebrating Pride this weekend, again, have a safe one. And be loud and proud. Take care, y'all.